We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And we are honored to have Dr. Linda Hippert in studio with us, currently assistant professor of education at Point Park University. This is day one of their move in, too. Doc, thanks for coming in on your way in to Point Park.
Yes, thank you.
Is there an excitement for, like, day one and when the kids start coming back?
There's always an excitement. I know, even for me now, as I transition and I am in higher ed, I don't sleep the night before you have your first class. It's very exciting.
When you have an extensive education background from every level, including superintendent, South Fayette, and then as a teacher in the classroom, going back to, you're from Char Valley originally, right?
Yes.
And where else did you teach?
I taught at Chartiers Valley and also at Trinity High School. I was a high school math teacher.
And then went on to South Fayette as a principal and then the superintendent and then to the Allegheny Intermediate Unit, which a lot of people don't know what the AIU is.
What is that?
But it's an umbrella organization.
It is. It is the liaison between the Pennsylvania Department of Education and the 42 school districts in Allegheny County, the suburban school districts, all except Pittsburgh Public Schools.
And you directed that and then went on to Point Park University. So you're very familiar with day ones and transitions and these kinds of things. Let's talk about getting kids, and I'm talking about primarily kids who are going to high school and secondary education and elementary and middle schools. When do you start transitioning them into the idea, okay, we're getting close to back to school, bedtimes are going to change and that kind of thing?
Well, the earlier you do it, the better, but that's easier said than done. As we know, at the secondary level, the sports teams come back, usually the second week in August. And so that's really when you want to start doing that little by little, gradually. Don't make students, your children, too anxious. It's important that they don't have too much anxiety on that first day. It's excitement, but not to be nervous.
I remember that going to school, you know, anything new, obviously, there's a little fear of the unknown. It takes them a while to get adjusted. And then the practical part of homework, it seems to me like there's actually more homework now than I can ever remember giving out. Is that true or not?
I don't know if there's more, but I think the expectations for academic excellence have grown. And it's pretty common to have summer work, too. So that's important.
Summer work?
Summer? What?
Oh, yes. I'm sure if you talk to most students, both elementary all the way through high school, there's something that they've been asked to do over the summer. Yes. And sometimes some little projects and some writing. Just really to keep them fresh.
Well, while we're on the topic of homework, I mean, how critical is homework to continuing the education in the classroom and advancing it so that it's not just a 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. kind of thing at school?
So homework is one of those things where you're practicing and practicing what you've learned in the classroom. And you know, I think our whole world, we work a lot more hours than we ever work. So it's probably a good way for students to kind of transition into the real world eventually.
Speaking of the real world, we had talked earlier about when we went to school, no communications like there is now, certainly no cell phones where you can't FaceTime with family or Instagram. So now the students have that. But on the other hand, that's a big distraction too. Because a lot of kids can't keep their noses out of their phones. I get that, but you're not allowed to have them in class. How do you manage all that?
So it depends. And when I say it depends, in many schools now, you are allowed to have them for educational reasons in the classroom, that they are actually bring your own device to school.
Really?
And so teachers have learned so much about technology, and they actually incorporate the use of technology, your own cell phone, into the classroom.
Wow. But then you have the pressure of having to make sure that the kids have the technology available to them. Because there are a lot of kids out there, as we have learned with the Education Partnership, who just need assistance having the basics of notebooks, pencils, and papers in a classroom because mom and dad don't have the resources.
Most of our schools now have one-to-one devices as well, whether they're giving iPads, computers to students. And even though they may not have backpacks and things like that, often you find a child who has a cell phone. And it's for a variety of reasons, one being safety as well. You know, the parents want to know where the child is and be able to get in touch with them.
Yeah, that is a major plus.
What a transition.
And the ability, though, to contact instantaneously. I remember I noticed a dynamic shift when I called one of my daughters and she texted me back right away. What do you want? I want you to answer the phone. That's what I want. But
yeah,
things are different now.
They don't talk on the phone, Larry. Come on.
What is the difference at the university level? So you go to college and you spent the bulk of your career at the other levels moving up. What do you notice is the biggest difference in the students?
Well, I primarily work with the doctoral students Point Park, but I do see the undergraduate students as well. And, you know, there's that same level of anxiety of transitioning. And in some cases, they're moving away from home. They're not just commuter students. So that's not always easy. However, I think our social media and technology has made it very different than when I went to school.
Does it make it easier for the students to transition into a college environment, leaving mom and dad at home and all that stuff? Does it make it easier having the social media?
Probably, because they're in constant contact. You know, I grew up in the days where you talked to mom once a week. And
was that her choice or yours?
It was long distance calling. It wasn't free.
Yeah, you were paying for that.
All right, honey, let's keep this short.
Yes.
Mom would say.
And you wrote letters.
Wrote letters? Oh, man.
Well,
Doc,
think about this. Technologically wise, if you were at school and you needed money, you had to get a check mailed to you.
Right.
There wasn't just, I'll slide some over. You know, online banking didn't exist. You had to wait till the mail got there.
Then what was you that had like, to... Larry? What was that like back in those days?
Very unpleasant.
Please tell us more.
It was very unpleasant.
How long did your candles last in your dorm room?
Oh, no. No candles. We weren't permitted.
Oh, you weren't?
I followed the rules. I'm a middle child. This begins a big transition day, big week for a lot of people, parents, kids, students, and John and I were talking about the old anxiety of that first day.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if this is an actual title for this, my niece-in-law, if you will, have put on Facebook, she is my sister's daughter-in-law. So wouldn't that be whatever?
We'll let the doctor rule.
It's my nephew's wife. She put on Facebook a couple of days ago that she's very anxious and concerned about her son going off to kindergarten for the first time. Obviously, parents have anxiety, but how important is it to make sure that doesn't get transferred to the child?
That is extremely important. Yes, parents do have anxiety, particularly with kindergarten. But I think a transition to any grade or a new teacher or a new place, even a university, it's so important that that's not transferred to the child. So parents may need to talk to their friends about it, but not let their children hear about it, because it will just make them anxious. And certainly that's not something that we want to push over onto them.
I think a lot of parents are concerned, especially with the young kids, that their little Jane or John is so innocent and they're going to go to school and maybe face people that aren't as nice as them and be bullied or, you know, made fun of for some reason, and just all the things that you have to face when you
and you're not
through
there to protect them.
Right.
And we know children are resilient, though. However, you can't discount the fact that they are afraid. And so parents need to talk to their children and have good conversations and really start those routines, as we said earlier, a couple weeks before, going to sleep earlier, perhaps doing that summer homework that I mentioned, and really getting back to thinking about what school is like.
What? Summer homework?
Yeah, really. Just the concept is like, starts giving you hives. From a standpoint of talking up school to a child, all right, you've got your own anxieties and your child has their anxieties. I mean, you want to paint the picture as rosy as you can, right?
You do. And you don't want to say, oh, I have to go back to school. And don't you wish it was still summer vacation? Instead, talk about the importance of education to their future life. And that, you know, what are the exciting things about school? What do you like about school? And if there are things that perhaps they don't find as pleasant, work your way through that so that they understand that there were things that you didn't like, but that's part of life as well. And we learn together. Also, it's very important that parents don't stress about getting all A's on their report card. I think that puts undue stress on a child. Instead, we have to focus on doing your best and putting forth your best effort. And, you know, getting a good grade is important, but doing your best is what's most important.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, and it varies household to household about that part of it. You know, your grades. I remember going to school and, man, it was tough the first semester, but then kind of caught on and you found your ground, you know,
your niche,
your space, and things kind of were okay from there.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, and I saw my daughter-in-law doing this when we were together a week ago, whenever school would come up, it's getting ready to go back to school, she would emphasize, you're going to get new clothes. She would emphasize the things that she knew Nellie wanted to hear, which is good stuff's coming.
Right, and they're excited about that, so that's important.
I joked to John, I have three brothers, so I remember one of the most anxiety-filled things about back to school was going to shop with Mom at Zaire's on McKnight Road, which I think is in Ashley Furniture now, and they used to put a popcorn machine in the back of the store so it would be popping fresh, and you'd smell that popcorn, and it would draw you through the store to get the free popcorn, right? My mom used to say. And you could, you know, you had to pick out clothes, and then I smelled the plastic book bag. I told John, I still remember that from first grade. So these impressions can last a lifetime that are happening right now for a lot of people.
We all have memories of going back to school, and hopefully they're good ones.
Well, and that's a good point for them. Parent standpoint, remember that you're making those memories for your kids now that they're going to be talking about when they're in their 40s.
So remain positive.
Remain positive. One of the things I used to do with my children is put a little note in their lunchbox. They like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And so I would put some encouraging notes that they would get. And of course, at that time, they'd maybe groan about it. But hopefully they look back and say, that was a nice thing you did, Mom.
And trying to get them to eat breakfast in the morning.
Yes. Healthy breakfast, we know, is very important. And then also, as we know, school lunches have changed, too, from years ago, and they're very nutritious. And also, the cafeteria can be a nice time for socialization, and you want to encourage that with your children as well.
Yeah, you can learn early trading.
So you are you have a passion for this, I can tell. This is not a job for you. This is a vocation that you're very passionate about, working with our young people. And that, what more important job can there be?
We always say that education is a calling, and I have certainly been fortunate to have a wonderful career in education. And as I said, I love my job. I loved going to work every day and still do.
How significantly better is the education now than the one-room school in the days of reading, writing, and arithmetic?
I don't think better is the right word. I think we teach for the times, and we as educators have to change and meet the changing times. So at the time, the one-room schoolhouse was ideal for what needed to be done. But today, things have changed, and educators have had to change.
Yes, that one-room schoolhouse you went to, John, is...
Oh, that was the best part about going back to school, is that's when we got our shoes in Kentucky.
That was John said that. But I do remember, you talk about technological changes, when in grade school, we had the Chinese abacus at first to learn. I'm not kidding.
Larry, come on.
I had that too, Larry.
See, come on.
Catholic
grade school too.
John, I am not kidding. Right, Doc?
That's correct.
You both went to Catholic grade school.
Yes.
Yes.
And you had an abacus, so we've come a long way.
Explains a lot.
We used slide rules too.
Yes. Eventually.
Oh, you did.
And public then, high school.
And then Texas Instruments came along and changed the world with their calculators.
Yeah, their TIs, yep.
Which now you have all that technology and power on your phone, even if you don't know how to use it, believe it or not.
It has definitely changed. It's a new world, but the same thing is true. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich beats a bologna sandwich any day in the cafeteria.
Well, Doc, that's true. Two things I remember my mom told us. Never write anything you don't want everyone to read in school. You know, writing notes.
Yes.
And that holds true now even more because
with texting.
With technology,
right.
That is very important.
So don't write anything you don't want everyone to read. And the other thing, I remember a nun telling us, idle hands are the devil's work tools. Keep them busy. Doctor,
I hope that you've enjoyed this insight into Larry's psyche.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, have a great year at Point Park University. Dr. Linda Hipper, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And all you and so many other teachers have given to our youth. It's such a very, very important vocation. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.